Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times. Rocket Mortgage prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to you, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Thanks for being with us, everybody. DA with you here on a Monday morning. Appreciate you being with us. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. Coming up in 20 minutes, we are stunned to a news. And in 40 minutes, this date in mothership history. But I want to read to you first a story about a man named Jason and Devin, the McCourty brothers, who both made it seem like they were pretty positive that Tom Brady was heading out. Stephon Gilmore said the same thing. You have more guys around the Patriots now, quote, not surprised that Tom Brady was leaving. Stephon Gilmore said, quote, you kind of have to alter your time with the kids at home 24/7 talking about his quarantine. So I try to work out in the morning, wake up, and get my run in. He said, as for Tom, I'm not surprised. A player like him playing somewhere that long, you never can see it, but it shows you that in the NFL, it can be anyone going somewhere. It's a business. That's how you have to look at it. So he said he's not surprised that Brady left. Here's Stephon Gilmore, who has played the last couple of years with Tom Brady. Not surprised. Huh. We had Ian Eagle in our show yesterday. Yes, indeed, moving forward, the DA show has a sixth show every week on Sundays, 1 until 4 Eastern time, same place, same channel, CBS Sports Radio. And I asked Ian Eagle, who had called so many Patriots games over the years for the NFL on CBS and then also Westwood One, I said, did this catch you off guard or did you feel like Tom Brady was going to leave? Here's Ian's answer.
I would say, two seasons ago, our sessions in those sit-downs became a little different. He was very direct and frank, and I thought very transparent. And that's not to say that he was hiding things prior. He was always great. And one of the first games that he started happened to be a game that I did. And it was the Patriots and the San Diego Chargers in Foxborough. Overtime win when he outdueled Doug Flutie, who was the hometown hero coming back to the Boston area. And then things started to really take off for Brady and the Pats. And even then, in the production meeting, he was terrific. You know, he is who he is. There was no evolution of Tom Brady as a good guy. He was always a good guy. I think the difference the last couple of years was just a comfortability in sitting down with me and with Dan Fouts and with Evan Washburn, and knowing that the things that we talked about that were pertinent for the broadcast would be used, and the things that were not germane to what we were doing would be kept between us, that it was sometimes just more of a personal connection of talking on a human level and not just the NFL fodder that we're usually going over week in and week out. So just getting to know him a little better as a person, and just really more of a sense that there could be something else for him beyond New England.
So that was Ian Eagle, one of the voices of the NFL on CBS and NFL on Westwood One, who has sat down with Tom Brady a number of times throughout the years because he's done so many Patriots games, saying that he really wasn't surprised that Tom left, that he could kind of see the writing on the wall 2 years earlier in how his demeanor changed. So this is kind of what I've been talking about a little bit, and not to do a touchdown spike here, but from the moment Adam Schefter last year during Monday Night Football came out and said Tom Brady is preparing to leave the New England Patriots, all of the breadcrumbs were lined up for Tom to leave. It was him selling his house, his trainer Alex Guerrero selling his house as well. The reports from Schefter wanting that unfettered free agency, not wanting to be franchised. The distance between the negotiations, the calls between Tom and Bill Belichick, all of the little things behind the scenes that we saw were evidence that he was leaving. And here were people also close to him, either on his team or obviously having conversations with him regularly because of their job, like Ian, who sensed it as well. And isn't it interesting that you have all of these people that were close to it saying, yeah, this was going to happen. And then there was such an overwhelming narrative amongst the media of, well, he would never leave. No, he would never leave. I can't envision him as a Patriot or not as a Patriot. I can't. Of course he's going to come back. And I was just always wondering, what is it that you people are seeing if you think he's coming back? What part of this equation beyond just, well, I can't envision him in another uniform, so I'm going to say he can't go to a different uniform. That was kind of what it came down to. The people couldn't envision it, and so they just said, no, he would never leave. But the people that knew, the people behind the scenes, the people that had intel, kept showing us all the evidence that he was going to leave. So that's part one here, Mraz, that I just think that so much of the media missed the obvious in this. And we were talking about Tom leaving for months, absolute months. And the moment that that season was over, we, okay, might have been unpopular amongst Patriots fans, but we held a Patriots dynasty death day, death funeral day for the Pats dynasty. We said, this is it. Brady's leaving. It's over. Say goodnight. And yes, it was tongue in cheek, but at that point, we had declared Brady's obviously leaving. He's on his way. I wonder why, with all of the evidence, so much, so glaring that even we could see it on this show, why did so many people refuse to realize or believe that Brady was going to leave?
I think I can only equate this with Tom Brady leaving the Patriots, too. If you were a Patriot fan or you had been maybe in love with Tom Brady, you're kind of like the second grader or third grader whose friend starts rumbling about certain holiday characters not being real. You're going to fight it until you
holiday
can't fight it.
Holiday characters. Anymore. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. There's people working from home right now, and I don't know if the kids are listening.
I get it. I like that very generic term.
Holiday characters. But that's what it feels like. I mean, there are guys, let's face it, guys on this network like Andy Gresh who work up in the New England area who laughed and mocked at us. You guys don't know what you're talking about down there in New York. Tom Brady would never leave. This is national hogwash. This, that, and the other thing. People up there were blinded. I have not seen, and look, I am a guy who's been a fan of my teams and has been a shill for a long time, but I have not seen a fan base more blinded by facts than New England Patriot fans, despite all their success. And the facts and every breadcrumb pointed to this. And for whatever reason, they fought it, maybe because they just didn't want to see it and hope that they could will it into not happening. But this was it. This was it for Brady. He couldn't take Belichick anymore. He fought and cried about what weapons he had when in the past it was about him always making guys better around him. Suddenly that wasn't an issue anymore. We had seen for years, whether it was the Alex Guerrero thing, whether it was leaving him on an island with the Deflategate. I mean, everything had mounted to this point in time. And when Tom Brady's actual ability finally got in the way of what was going on, and Bill Belichick could see that he wasn't going to be the best quarterback anymore, well, now both sides had an open-ended, we're out of here situation, and we all saw it, or we should have seen it, unless you were absolutely wearing your New England Patriots underwear over your eyes.
But I don't want to just bag on Patriots fans here, because there were national media pundits that refused to believe this and kept telling us he would never leave as well. And those are the ones that I'm really wondering about. I mean, okay, if you're a Patriot fan, you don't want to believe it. That's fine. I could understand that. If you are paid to be an unbiased observer and you're looking at this from just 30,000 feet, which we are kind of paid to do and supposed to do, how could you not see it? Those are the people that I wonder about, because like we were just talking about, there's people in the know that talk to Brady. Here's one of his teammates saying, I'm not surprised. Ian Eagle tells us he's not surprised. All these people knew that it wasn't surprising that he would leave. Why did the national media that were supposed to have some connection to the story not see it?
Well, because I think that part is multi-layered from this standpoint. The New England Patriots are the one franchise where it is so hard to get real answers and real leaks out of, right? You have reporters up there that are Belichick guys, reporters up there that are Brady guys, reporters up there that are Kraft guys. And ultimately, you're not going to get much real stuff out there that spin unless they want that out there. And nobody in Tom Brady's camp or Bill Belichick's camp probably necessarily wanted this out there. Now, from a national perspective, unless you're, you know, coordinating with those guys there, you have to go do your own digging. And who was the one guy that was on top of this early in the year? It was Adam Schefter. And if you're anybody not named Adam Schefter, and you're supposed to be doing the job Schefter is, for whatever reason, there seems to be jealousy, particularly in the NFL media, where if this guy has the scoop, I need to find a way to either debunk the scoop or show that I had it first. And I think because Schefter had it and these other guys didn't, suddenly it had to be rained on, well, it's not true because I didn't have it.
I think that's probably true. I think it's probably fair. And I also think, as I've mentioned before, I think there's a lot of former Patriots that create narratives in the media. They have very vocal platforms. So the Teddy Bruschis, the Randy Mosses, Rob Ninkovich, Rodney Harrison, go down the line. There's a lot of former Patriots in positions of influence. And they all kept saying he would never leave. He would never leave. And so I think people just assume, well, those guys would know. Now, I don't know why those guys would say that, but it felt like there was that kind of thing washing over as well. So anyway, a lot of people got this wrong. I also, you want to do a little deep dive into that game that Ian Eagle was just talking about? Because I found this fascinating. I forgot that Brady out-dueled Doug Flutie in 2001 at Old Foxborough Stadium. You want a little box score on this? Walk down memory lane?
Let's have it.
Okay, so in early October, now remember, this is 2001, so this is following 9/11, so there is a delay on the NFL season, pushed back a week and a half. We are now in early October, four games have been played, the Patriots are 1-3. They began the season 0-2, that's when Mo Lewis knocks out Drew Bledsoe. They win game three, then lose 30-10 in Miami, okay? 30-10, the Dolphins under Dave Wannstedt are 3-1, The Patriots under Bill Belichick are 1-3. In that game, Tom Brady loses to Jay Fiedler in a game that Fiedler only throws 87 yards and Brady throws 86. The two quarterbacks combined for 165 yards passing in this game, okay?
That's so funny because that's the game. If Red Zone existed, you're asking Scott Hansen, why are you going to this? We don't need to see this.
Right. So that drops the Patriots to 1-3. Okay. So now here's a pretty crucial game back in Foxborough. This is October 14th, 01. And as Ian said, this is, I think, his first game or one of his first games that he calls for the NFL on CBS. And the Chargers come to town with Doug Flutie. Now, this is a Boston College hero, a guy that grew up in Natick, Massachusetts, just down the road from Boston. So here's Flutie coming in with the 3-1 Chargers. Mraz, this is a turning point in NFL history. Chargers.
I forgot Flutie was a Charger.
Yet Chargers 3-1, Patriots 1-3 in Foxborough. If the Patriots drop to 1-4, potentially they miss the playoffs, okay? The Chargers and Patriots end up going to overtime in an absolute classic in this game. I forgot about this. Doug Flutie throws for 270 yards and a touchdown, also runs for a touchdown as well, okay? So Flutie does his part. This is a game with LaDainian Tomlinson at running back for the Chargers. Elsewhere on the Chargers, they've got some other good talent on offense as well. But Brady has the day of his life, 33 of 54 for 364, two touchdowns, no interceptions, leads the team to an overtime win. Vinatieri kicks the 44-yard field goal. He pushes it to overtime, Brady does, by driving his team down the field. Jermaine Wiggins he hits with 36 seconds left to tie it up. Vinatieri has the extra point, 26-26. They win in overtime. You know, I oftentimes take some swings at Brady in that 0-1 season because I always say the defense won him that Super Bowl in many ways, and that defense was amazing. He didn't stop the greatest show on turf. But how about this game, 364, two touchdowns, no picks against Flutie and the Chargers to save the season from going to 1-4 to 2-3.
Okay, so now I'm all in on this. Two things. Number one, how on earth am I getting at night a replay of the Bucs-Raiders Super Bowl or the Giants-Ravens Super Bowl when Tom Brady just signed with the Bucs? Can we dig up games that we haven't seen Tom Brady play?
Right.
I mean, yesterday we had the Brady-Falcons Super Bowl. We've seen these games and they're so recent. I want these creative games like you're mentioning. Why not? Now's the time to see it. How many of us remember? We don't remember this game unless you're maybe a Patriot or Charger fan. Show us that now. Number two. Now you have me fascinated on this Charger team. D.A., that Charger team you say came into that game 3-1, so they fell to 3-2. They would win the next 2 weeks in a row, get the 5-2, and not win a game the rest of the year. They finished 5-11. Do you know who their coach was?
0-1, so this is before Marty. This is after Bobby Ross. Oh, my gosh. Who was in the middle there? I don't know.
Mike Riley.
Wow, a Mike Riley head coach Chargers team.
Very good.
That's a very good Damon. That's right. He's the guy that gave us that quote. Did you know, you probably know this now, the weapons that Doug Flutie was throwing to get to 3-1, and then as you said, five wins, Curtis Conway, Tim Dwight. Remember little Tim Dwight as this wide receiver? He was basically Welker before Welker.
Yes. Tim Dwight was the original Wes Welker. Him and Ricky Prohl were running around.
Yeah. That's a great game that I would totally watch again.
If that game was on tonight, there's not a question in my mind. I'm sitting down for the full 3 hours and burning through my Dorito rations. Not a question.
How did Mike Riley get them to, what, 5-2, you said? And then they went 5-11?
They went on an epic, epic collapse. And then we later see Mike Riley in the AAF, so all things come full circle.
When we come back, we are stunned to a news. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, you like that, big boy?
What else do you do?
I agree it's vague, and now that I'm going, I send the topics every night and morning. Look, I understand the way you're painting this broad brush that maybe I don't do a lot.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
The NCAA Tournament Rewind continues all this week on the CBS Sports Network. Relive some of the best moments from March Madness at the 24-hour home of CBS Sports.
CBS Sports Spectacular, yeah!
Glad you're with us on a Monday morning, man. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. We're asking you guys this morning on the poll question, did Tua Tagovailoa's video of himself taking a snap and throwing a pass give you confidence that he's healthy? Right now, still 70% of you said no. Rev K tweets in, DA, if he can't stay healthy on a stacked college team that protected him pretty well, what makes people think he can stay healthy on an NFL team that can't protect him? It's a fair question. Like I said before, I understand why people are attracted to Tua, because he has so many things that you love about a potential franchise quarterback. But I cannot draft him in good conscience that high. Top 10 of this draft, if that is my guy, it has to to make it. If it's a luxury pick, like the Dolphins have three number ones. If you get him at six, and you have two other first round picks, okay, maybe. And you have Ryan Fitzpatrick under center, under contract, so he didn't have to start week number one. But I mean, still, the Dolphins need to figure out the quarterback situation. But if I've got to get it right or else I'm screwing my franchise up for 5 to 10 years, I can't take Tua that high. I just feel like there's so much risk there. By the way, the DA show is available every day in video form. Go to watchda.com. The simulcast is cooking. You can watch that on any device, anywhere, including your smart TV or your phone or your tablet. Go to watchda.com or inside the radio.com app. In the radio.com app, you can get the show streaming audio-wise live or in rewind form or in podcast form, or watch the show at watchda.com. Andrew Bogish. Isn't that right? Andrew Bogish is standing by with your headlines this morning. Good morning, Andrew.
DA, good morning. So for the first time since 2005, the Chargers will have a starting QB not named Philip Rivers. 224 consecutive starts for the man who is now an Indianapolis Colt. At the moment in LA, Tyrod Taylor is number one on the depth chart. The veteran QB telling the OC Register over the weekend, quote, "If I am the guy that would be calling the shots, I know for sure that we'll go out and turn a lot of heads." Taylor did not specify if people would be turning their heads away from his offense. The Bolts could definitely draft a QB next month or sign another vet like Cam Newton or Jameis Winston. Was that an unnecessary shot at Tyrod Taylor on a Monday morning?
Well, it's probably unnecessary, but it's useful. I mean, it gets us a good chuckle here, and I think that there's actually truth to that. I mean, right now, if you're a Chargers fan, not that Philip Rivers was any great shakes last year with all the turnovers, but do you feel confident with Tyrod Taylor as your opening day starter without any competition? Now, I'm sure that the Chargers will draft somebody. That's kind of the plan here. But Tyrod Taylor opening up brand new SoFi Stadium as the starting quarterback of the Chargers, I would say underwhelming would be the adjective.
Now, Tyrod's not the reason, but the rest of the offense and the switch to the baby blue as the predominant blue in their uniform, I'm once again sucked back into this Chargers vortex. They've always been my favorite non-Giants team.
Is that right? I didn't realize that. Simply because of the lightning bolt, the uniforms?
The uniform's been great. Rivers has been entertaining, even going back to LT. I mean, at one point, they were the team that I thought could keep me from more Patriots, Brady, Super Bowls.
Of course.
They kept letting me down, and they've been so good at being 8-4 and finishing 8-8, or being 4-8 and finishing 8-8 and making December interesting. So they've always dragged me in. I always want to get away. I should be away now, but they keep making these tiny little things, like giving me powder blue predominantly, that make me want to go back and love them again.
Did you root for them in the 94 Super Bowl when they got thrashed by Steve Young and the Niners?
I cannot speak for 14-year-old me. I think my Charger love is a more recent thing.
Okay.
So I don't think back then I was pulling for them. That's more of a post-college, almost adult me thought. The San Diego Super Chargers song is a fun song. Now, that goes back to the 70s. But no, this is a fairly more recent love affair between me and the Bolts.
Because I really like that 94 Chargers team. Remember, that is a Cinderella team. The Chargers team, I believe, goes to Three River Stadium to beat the heavily favored Pittsburgh Steelers in the AFC Championship game. That's the Stan Humphries Natron Means Business San Diego Chargers that had a really fun team that won a lot of games late, coached by Bobby Ross, and then got absolutely slaughtered in that Super Bowl. Steve Young, 6 touchdowns. I think he threw that game as the MVP. But you're right. The Chargers have a lot of reasons to suck you in and then spit you out. But, you know, the one thing that won't suck you in is seeing Tyrod Taylor under center week one.
When we last spoke on Friday, the Ravens walked away from their deal with D lineman Michael Brockers over concerns with one of his ankles. Since then, Baltimore has signed former Broncos D lineman Derek Wolfe. It's a 1-year deal with $3 million guaranteed. The Lions are signing former Packers receiver Geronimo Allison, and Washington adds former Philly corner Ronald Darby. Now, he's talented, but missed 28 games over the last three seasons. The Knicks announced on Saturday that owner James Dolan has coronavirus, but only minor symptoms. Celtics guard Marcus Smart said last night he's now 100% healthy. And a construction worker at SoFi Stadium in L.A. is sick, but the project continues with the already in place extra safety precautions.
I wonder if the fact that so many high-profile cases, Rudy Gobert, Marcus Smart, Tom Hanks and his wife, James Dolan, if the fact that these high-profile cases have led to either no symptoms or light symptoms, Sean Payton, led people to a false sense of confidence. You know, the people that were going out for spring break and the people that were still congregating in parks and streets, because the death toll is real. It is a dangerous, dangerous virus, even for young, healthy people. There are examples of that. And yet, I still think that people don't really necessarily, unless you're maybe on the coast and you have seen the destruction, feel that it's really dangerous, that maybe it's going to take a high-profile case of somebody being in really perilous danger, don't you think?
Yeah, and we touch on this, I think, with Marcus Smart, maybe. Somebody else triggered this conversation between you and I, and it's an odd thing to think, like, that nobody wants a serious issue for a famous person, but there are still so many people who seem to not really grasp what's going on or trying to downplay how real this is. And because of, we normally listen to fancy people, to famous people, so maybe that helps the cause, but nobody wants that. But yeah, I would guess there's got to be some people who go, oh yeah, you know what, if I get it, I'll be fine. No big deal, because they're only thinking about themselves, yeah, and not everybody around them or the tax they put on the system by just getting sick.
Well, and there are many, many cases of high-profile celebrities being fine. I mean, so you could see people saying, well, if that person's fine, or that person's fine, or that person's fine, or that person's fine, then I'll be fine. But we just had a CBS journalist who passed away yesterday who came down with the illness, and she was only 54. There was a famous Japanese actor, I believe. He was in his 70s, I think, but he also passed away from it. Michael Pittman, former NFL running back's father, passed away, or uncle passed away from it over the weekend as well. And we're kind of touching famous people, but not quite the famous, famous people. And you know, I don't want that to have to happen for people to really wake up and realize how dangerous this can be, even if you are healthy. I mean, you know, there are people that went to a Miami Beach concert in early March who were in their 30s who contracted it and fell ill and passed away that quickly. I mean, this is like 3 weeks ago, and this person was in his 30s. And so there's significant death toll to people that are even supposedly healthy, which is what makes this so vital to stay home, to stay safe, and to wash your hands and to stay away from people. Because I just hope it doesn't take a famous person falling ill and then passing away to where people finally go, oh, I guess this is really severe.
Yeah, and DA, yeah, DA, on that point, what's very scary is everybody keeps talking about the underlying issues here and how, oh, I don't have an underlying issue, so I have nothing to worry about. There have been stories out there, and I just want to jump in and can't stress this enough, of people who might be unaware of an underlying issue they may have had, even as a young person in their 30s, their 20s, or their 40s, that may have gone undiagnosed, that makes this worse if they contract it. So don't just assume you are Teflon because nothing in your medical history has told you you had another underlying issue. You may have one that you are unaware of, and hence it could become bad news. So just please, please stay at home and don't assume you're Superman.
Exactly. That Japanese comedian was Ken Shimura, who passed away at 70 after contracting coronavirus. So there's, I mean, imagine somebody that was really famous here in the States passed away due to it. It would finally wake up some people. I mean, some people are obviously very concerned right now, but some people are still not as concerned. But anyway, okay, thank you, Andrew. Or continue with the updates, because I don't think you're done.
I am not. So we spent a lot of time last week discussing MLB's agreement with its players for handling their suspended season. The biggest headline was players getting a year of service even if no games are played, which means guys like Mookie Betts are free agents next winter no matter what. MLB Network Radio's Jim Duquette told us yesterday, optimistic owners made that concession.
That's where you know, you kind of piece things together. MLB was willing to give up that service time. They really don't want to, but I feel like they were willing to do it because they were anticipating a good chance that we were going to at least try to play a half a season.
And again, the flip side in what the owners got, if you're connecting dots, is players have agreed not to fight for full salary this year. They're getting an advance and then will only get paid if their games after that. Reports last week said the league and the players are really hoping they can be on the field in June.
Which is Georgetown an interesting dynamic here as well, because you might think, well, the players don't want to play because they're going to feel like they are put in harm's way. They'd have to travel. They'd have to be around other people. Obviously, games are not played in quarantine necessarily, so they're around at least their teammates, other players, medical staff, team staff, what have you, even if there's no fans. But the players want to play as well because that's the only way that they would get a full salary. They don't want to go into 2020 and make half of their salary. Nobody would. None of us would. So there's an emphasis and an impetus for the players to want to play as many games. That's why when you hear, well, how about two doubleheaders, seven innings apiece every week? And you go, well, why would the players ever agree to that? They'd agree to that because they want their game checks.
And we'll hear more from Duquette about that, maybe in the 9:30 update, if I can tease my own work 2 hours from now. Reports across the Atlantic say Wimbledon will be canceled, with an official announcement coming Wednesday, postponing the grass court event, Sean. It's really not possible because the weather becomes too unpredictable in London once we get to late summer. And iRacing stalwart Timmy Hill won NASCAR's simulated race at Texas Motor Speedway yesterday. I believe it's time to be stunned. Am I correct?
You are, yes. Let's get stunned.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
Now, as we all know, these are very difficult times, guys. We are all on edge. We all have our own ways of blowing off steam. For some, that may be blasting your favorite tunes. That's what Benjamin Leyland was doing recently, but a neighbor in Manchester, New Hampshire, thought the music was too loud, so he knocked on Leyland's door and asked him to turn it down. Now, we assume he asked politely, but maybe he didn't, because Leyland allegedly picked up a 2.5-foot knife and chased the man down the hall.
Oh, dear.
That's a knife.
Now, for those of you scoring at home, a 2.5-foot knife is 30 inches, which is 0.44 linear jocalones.
Okay.
That's a lot to swing. Luckily,
Does it become a sword at that point?
I don't know what constitutes a sword, but 2.5 feet, that's like machete to me. Like, you're hacking a trail through the jungle with that kind of blade, no?
That's a monster. 2.5 feet, that is almost, like you said, half a jocalone. That's 44 out of 100 jocalones. So that's a big, big, big knife. I mean, think about that in front of you. That's nearly a yard.
You ain't cutting a skirt steak with that, that's for sure.
I mean, you could. It would be very easy.
That's what this guy wanted to do, cut this guy's skirt steak off.
Luckily, he didn't actually use the knife on his neighbor. He got back into his apartment safely, and Mr. Leyland charged with criminal threatening. But this is why I don't mess with people, right?
Because this is why you don't play your music loud?
Well, if my neighbor's doing it, I let them do it, because you don't know if there's a 2.5-foot sword right next to them at their front door.
It's a fair point. Have you ever gotten into like a road rage incident? Not that you were raging potentially, but somebody did something terrible to you on the road. They cut you off in a really dramatic thing, or they buzzed by you on the highway and swerved into your lane, or just something really, really dangerous. And you're like, my God, I would totally want to tell this person off. And then you realize, but I have no idea if they have a 2.5-foot sword in their car right now.
Exactly. See, I wish on the road, I wish accidents weren't bad. Like they were, like we were all in bumper cars.
So you wish accidents were not bad.
Yeah, like if someone was being a jerk, you know, the guy that's doing 90 in mile traffic on the highway, weaving in and out of lanes in his souped up, you know, Honda Civic. I'd love to just spin that guy out and be like, this is what happens when you drive like a jerk. Like, stop doing this. But accidents are not
Bogus
safe
wants it
and
to
okay.
be Mario Kart out there.
Yeah,
no,
right.
I don't
exactly.
want to be Mario Kart.
So have any of you, have either of you guys ever had a neighbor that you absolutely hated because they were either playing music really loud, or remember I had the crying baby in my apartment
right.
every single day. It was so awful and they were so loud. You guys ever have like a really terrible neighbor?
No, as a matter of fact, I feel like I might be the terrible neighbor.
Yeah, that's probably
life.
True.
I'm always the yeah. guy playing the music loud or doing whatever, having people over way too late. I'm probably that guy that people hate.
You're also the guy that cuts his armpit hair in the front yard, right?
That's a good point. Right out there, buzz it all off. Did the back last night.
Because
the back
your roommate hates you.
Bogus, ever a terrible neighbor?
Yeah, me and my wife had battles with the people that lived above us in our first, well, in our second apartment. And it was worse for me because at that point I was working nights. So I was home all day listening to them being terribly loud. Like, you know, we live in an apartment. It was old. It was creaky. And the woman, and this was a, I guess maybe in their 60s, maybe a little bit older. So, you know, certainly almost an elderly couple, which made us feel bad having these battles. But the woman used to pace the hallway that, like, cut the apartment in half, up and back and
in
forth
her wooden
all day
shoes.
Long. So all I heard was the thumping and the creaking of the floor over and over again early in the morning when I was trying to sleep from working nights and late nights. And I went up there one time to just very politely be like, could you please maybe just keep it down a little bit? And their initial reaction was just screaming at me and slamming the door in my face. Like, we had to have the building come in and like mediate, had the super
wow,
try and talk
building
to him to calm
mediation
down.
Between the Boguses.
Well, it was really bad and really unnecessary, and it was constant. And their argument was she needed exercise, and her exercise was pacing her apartment,
uh-huh.
not going outside
yep.
and walking the street of Queens where she wouldn't have been bothering anybody. Instead, she made my days living hell. So yeah, that was not a good sequence in the bogus family history.
Wow, so Mrs. Huckleberry's exercise was pacing back and forth for hours at a time on wooden clogs right above you.
Right, well, and you know, like you're supposed to in an apartment, I think in our agreement was like 70% of it's supposed to be carpeted to prevent such things. And there's definitely weren't, and that was kind of our thing, was like, don't make us be the annoying like stickler for details. Like, everybody wants to do their own thing and they wouldn't budge an inch. It was ugly. They wouldn't
what
talk
happens,
to us on the elevator. It was bad.
What happens if you knocked on their door and old man Huckleberry brought out a 2.5 foot long sword? Did that come up in mediation?
there was no threat of violence. And I actually ended up feeling bad for him because I think he realized that his wife sucked, but it was his wife,
sure.
so he had to be on her side in all this. Because at one point, he kind of was like, I have to defend my wife here. We're trying our best. It was almost like a plea for help. Like, you don't know what my life is like. So the thumping above you is like simple problems. I've got her all the time. So try to cut me some slack here.
It's got to be tough when you realize your spouse sucks. It's got to be a tough thing. All right. Thank you, Andrew. When we return, this date in mothership history, 2 years ago, Pete the Body Bilotti got ready for his wedding day. And Mraz had to take shots. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Come one. Come all. Step inside. It's this date in mothership history.
So over the last couple of weeks, we have attempted to fill the void of no games by digging into our archives. And today is no different. We go back 2 years ago, March the 30th, 2018, as Pete the Body Bilotti began getting ready for wedding number two. He decided he would go on a diet, and this is where Mraz starts throwing stones. Pete the Body, did you indulge in any of the donuts on Donut Friday?
It's a test. I open the box and then I close it.
Does it give you some sense of satisfaction?
It gives me some satisfaction. I come in here and ask some more.
There's been smaller baked goods that were in boxes that he's picked up the box and like looked at the health information, the calorie count and whatnot, and then put it back down.
Hey, I give you credit, Pete. And so you're down for the wedding?
Yeah. Yeah, I want to lose the weight for the wedding and just for my well-being.
Sure. Very good.
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing in his home time. He's getting fatter here weekly. Let's just be fair.
That's wrong.
It really is.
It's accurate. It may be mean.
I don't think that Pete is getting heavier.
I am watching his girth every day come close. How do you think these drops are getting fired now? His belly's hitting every button.
Now I hope you have to eat the whole jar of this hot, hot, hot sauce.
That's right.
We want to pile on me for being fat and credit him for dieting.
I don't
think... The guy is blowing up here.
Chubbo.
I don't see that at all. I do not see Pete gaining weight. The guy's not eating donuts. The guy's eating chicken and rice every single day.
Very moist.
I guess the glass is warped here, separating us.
You're cruel.
He's a botchagaloop now.
You're cruel.
Went down that road.
He went down that road.
The botchagaloop road.
Botchagaloop.
And there ain't no turning back. People are going to hate me. I'm going to give them a reason to hate me. That's it.
There's plenty of reasons to hate you.
I'm the nicest man, the nicest fellow.
Such a nice guy saying that Pete, who's been on a disciplined diet for months now, is getting fat.
You know what?
You're a great guy. What a kind fellow.
I think I'm a lost cause.
I'm losing weight like nobody's business. Nobody says anything to me. But, oh, Pete, you're close to donut box. Look at you, big guy. Come on.
So you're just jealous of the positive attention that he's getting.
Hey, I work my tail off. I get no attention. He gets attention because he's saying he clothes in a box when he could be going home pounded through bags of chips.
So
we don't know what he does at home.
So you just want positive attention, and if you don't get it, you will tear down everybody around you.
If they deserve to be torn down.
Nice. 2 years ago, Mraz tearing down Pete the Body as he prepared for his diet for his wedding number two. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. That's easy. Mraz, any guilt listening back? Any regret listening back to that clip?
No. The only thing that's changed is I have further mindset of why is it always that my body is the only one that's fair game on this show? Everybody else's image you can't touch, but me, if I'm out there, it's, oh, there's Mraz, he's fat again. Everybody else, it's, you know, we
well,
can't
wait on. Wait a second here, okay? Number one,
fat.
We make fun of Bogush going bald, okay? Number two,
we
make fun of me either being too skinny or having big teeth. Number three, we make fun of your girth. I think everybody's been, maybe not Pete, but everybody I think has been fair game here, not just you.
Yeah, but not as much. My waistline is a storyline, I would say, twice a week. Everybody else's image is off limits. What I mean, Pete's back at the shop. Pete, why is your image off limits? Can I not make fun of your weight? Why is that not allowed?
Because you have no class, that's why.
What do you mean I have no class? But I got a big ass, and that's fine?
You're a jerk. That's why we call you fat.
Whoa.
So, okay.
There's some real hostility.
Mraz is fat.
There was some real anger behind Pete just now.
Yeah, Pete just made it real.
Stuff another bag of Doritos.
Pretzel bun?
I think it's because you are so easily mean. You really can be mean.
No, and I'm not. Yeah, I'm the nicest guy in the world.
Oh, come on.
I am.
Come
I
on.
I give my oversized shirt off the back for any of you right now. I'm the man. I do it out of love. Out of love.
Oh, yeah.
I'm fat. I am fat. We should be able to be joke with each other. I'm fat. Clearly, based on Pete's reaction, we're not allowed to. Fat. Wow. I love smelling those balls.
I think there's something that maybe you and Pete need to work out where Pete finds you to be really mean. I think maybe me and Bogush don't feel the same way quite as much, but I think it feels like Pilati feels like you're really mean.
I don't know if it's quarantine hostility right now. Maybe Pete and I can work it out the next time we see each other when we're 47. I am fat.
That really did dive bomb out of nowhere. That was like, it was a fun morning, and then about
one of my
three
answer. There it is.
3 minutes ago, Pete just dropped the hammer on you.
Pete needs WrestleMania to happen in the worst way.
That's
right now.
So true. He's had no Monday Night Raw, no Thursday Night Rage in the cage.
I need to see a human being. That's one. Enough of this. Let's go.
Yo, what's Pete going to be like on June 1 when we're still doing
this? Oh, man. Still fat, I'll tell you that much.
Get this guy a wrestling event. Is AEW the one with Taz also shut down?
Yes.
Oh, get this guy a wrestling. Oh, boy. Get this guy a scripted sporting event ASAP, okay? He's losing it. Somebody get Roman Reigns in the top buckle immediately. When we come back here on the show. So, what happens to baseball? What happens to the NBA? What happens to the seasons that we may have lost? The Premier League might be showing us the way. I'll tell you why next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.